We bring you greetings in the name of Jesus. We're again very glad to be here after being absent last Sunday. And Brother Henry was kind and took my turn in preaching and appreciated that message very much, entering in the straight gate. Very needful for our day. And appreciated the devotional this morning on the encounter with God. We don't get very far in life if we don't have an encounter and stay connected to our God. He is our guide and leader. And no matter what we face in life, no matter how hard the trial, God is good all the time. God is good. For the message, there's a verse in Joshua chapter 4. I'd like to turn to that part of Scripture. And in that verse, it is a sentence here. What mean these stones? In verse 21 of Joshua 4. What mean these stones? And getting the picture here, I'd like to go to Joshua chapter 3 and verse 9. And we'll read a part of this scripture here. To get the sense of what was happening when these stones were set up. In verse 9 of Joshua 3. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from you before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. We might say the worldly people that God did not want his children to mix with. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes before you into Jordan. And the Ark of the Covenant was the place where God's Spirit dwelled as he was among his people. And it was a covenant. A covenant is like a promise. It's like a vow to be there and supply their needs and protect them and guide them and so on. And he says in verse 12, now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jordan. So the people of Israel were needing to pass over Jordan, and Jordan was flooded. It had overflowed its banks, so the water was very deep. But God had said, as soon as the priests that are bearing the ark, where the ark where God dwelled, where his spirit was, as soon as they touch the water, the waters are going to stop and are going to stand in a heap. I remember in Sioux Strath, Virginia, when we lived there, there was a what they called Round Hill. And if you were in the valley there, you know, everybody could see Round Hill. It stood up as a heap, as a hill. And I wonder if that's how these waters were. They just kept piling up because it said the water stood up as a heap. And it says, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground, in verse 17, in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, In other words, the 12 people would represent all the people. And command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. And unto this day means at the time that the book of Joshua were written, those stones were still there in an heap. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord into battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place, and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let the children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye may fear the Lord your God forever. When getting the picture here, and some of this I'll kind of use my own thoughts on what happened, is the children of Israel, all these several million people or however many there were, this was the situation now where formerly God had taken them over the Red Sea and they went into the wilderness. And then, you know, when Moses had sent these men to spy out the land, they came back and saying, oh, we can't do it. You know, the children of Israel cried and were very discouraged that night. And God spoke to them and said, because of what you're doing here, all the older men, you're going to wander in this wilderness. You will, until your carcasses fall in the wilderness. And those children that you said, I cannot bring into the land of Canaan, where they're going to be killed and they're going to be a spoil for the enemy. The enemy will just do with our children whatever they want to. Those are the people that I will take over Jordan into the promised land. But you are responsible for this situation, and so you're not going to be able to come. So those people, 40 years later, all of them had died off, and now this was the young generation that God was going to bring into his promised land, into Canaan. And so now they were all gathered by Jordan, and Jordan was all flooded. The plain was flooded, or the river had overflowed its banks. And God was saying that I'm going to take you over this Jordan, even though the water is deep, and however it is, flooded, I will take you over Jordan. And the water stood all in a heap, and the people all passed over on dry ground. But God did not want them to forget this happening. And in the essence of what God was saying is, I want you to remember that I can bring you home. I can bring you to the promised land. Whatever you fear, there's going to be a battle that has to be fought. But I can bring you over on the other side in spite of all the obstacles you face. And I can protect you and I can bring you there. And I want this monument or these stones to let you know so that you can tell your children that the Lord God is to be feared. He is to be respected. He is to be reverenced. So number one, God is mighty above all. He is a mighty God and he can protect us, and therefore we need to fear him. This is what these stones meant. And as the children of Israel had passed over, it's like the 12 men, everybody was clean passed over, and they looked back and they saw the dry land and all the water standing on a heap on one side, and the river was empty on the other side. And Joshua and these 12 men went back into the middle of Jordan, and they each man got his stone on his shoulder, and the 12 men carried them out. But Joshua himself gathered stones and set them up right in the middle of the riverbed, in the middle of Jordan. And he set those stones up as a monument of what God did for them. And then when the 12 men, they carried their stones on their shoulders out, and they took them to the place where they lodged, which was Gilgal. And remember, when Israel went to the other side, it was the side where Jericho was. It was the side where the danger was. It was the side where the enemy was. It was the side that needed to be conquered. And so they had this monument there to tell their children and for themselves to see that really, because of our God, there is no obstacle that is too great for us. Look what God did in being able to make the water stand on a big heap. This is what God can do. So why should we fear the enemies that want to come at us? And I see such a likeness in this for the church. For the church today. What are you here for? What are we fighting for? We need to fight. There's a battle that we need to fight. And we're wanting to cross this Jordan. We're wanting to get on the other side. Are we not? Or are you wandering around everywhere else? But look. These stones mean something. What kind of stones are being set up today? Now, there's a lot of traveling going on around here. And whenever you go to a town that has much of any size, you soon come to a sign beside the road. Or you come to a man that is on horseback and he might have a gun in one hand and a Bible in the other. And in our courthouse in Paris, there's a monument there. I haven't gone up and read the monument, but that monument means something of some great work that someone had done back there. And so any town that has some size, there's soon people gathering together and they want to set up a certain monument. And that monument is a memorial, like it says there in verse 7. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. So when people do this, they set up memorials. The people that they're trying to remember. It's saying that they did some great work for the people. This was a monument that was supposed to point and bring out what God did for the people. Even your money. Show me a piece of money that does not have somebody's face on it and is likely worthless. Our dollar bills has George Washington on it. The fives have Lincoln on it. And the tens have, I know the face, but I can't tell it right now. The 20s, I mean the 50s, everybody, all the money that we have, the coins. Here some time ago, they came out with a Susan B. Anthony dollar. And Susan B. Anthony, I read back then what it was that she did. But there was some great work that she did. And I forget now, was it making peace somehow between the white man and the red man, the Indians and the whites? I'm not sure, but there was something that she had done. And she is being, the inscription is on there so that people will go and look or remember some good deed that she had done. Monuments are in every nation on this earth. And it is simply so that people can remember great deeds that were done. There are lots of changes that happen in our world today. Lots of changes. And we do not do well if we don't recognize that there are lots of changes. But praise God for the things that don't change. There are some things that just don't change. They are the same as the day that I was born. And number one is Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't change. Another thing that does not change is that it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to save you from your sins. That doesn't change. And another thing that doesn't change is the way of life. Jesus Christ is the only way. There are so many other religions in our world today, but unless Jesus Christ and his cross is at the center, it's not the way. The only way is Jesus Christ. The way of the cross is how you enter into the straight gate. That does not change. It never will change. It'll always be the same. And most of all, we have a monument here. We have a stone here. We have a rock here that will never change. As hard as man may try to change it, it will never change. Now, there are also things that people do, things that people teach that will never change simply because it's based out of here. It will never change. There are principles that are being taught by you parents to your children. Principles that will never change. One of them is honor father and mother. Do you think that will ever change? No, because it's embedded in this stone, the Word of God. It's embedded in there. It will never change. And the young generation does very well to recognize that and to honor that and to believe that and to act like that. You do well to listen and obey because, you know, the way of the transgressor is hard. Those things will come home to you someday if you do not honor father and mother. So praise God. There are a lot of changes today, but there are some things that do not change, and they look pretty good to me. It's the old time religion. It's the religion that the old people had long ago, and the young people are adopting today for their religion. Praise God. Let's keep it that way. It's because when you look at the heap of stones and you recognize that God is mighty and that God will protect us, he will bring us to the other side. He brought my mom over there, and he can bring every one of you over there too. Another thing I'd like to, that to me means something, and that is that Joshua was supposed to take those stones over and set them up where they lodged. Now, where do you stay? Where do you lodge? and the place where you're going to be. It's a place where you're going to have your family. Those stones are there. And you look at them and you teach your children that God is mighty and that he will protect you. He will see you through anything you face. It doesn't matter. The house can burn down. The barn can blow away. Or, you know, people can die. But God will still see us through. And God is still good all the time. Because of the situation that I'm going through with my wife right now, remembering is something that happens quite often. Just the past week, she got a letter, Dorothy did, from a dear friend in another state. And this friend was remembering something that Dorothy had said. Back then, our girls had helped this family quite a bit. And this fine young lady asked one day how they can ever repay Dorothy for the kindness of letting her girls work there. And Dorothy said, you really can't pay it. You don't need to pay it. Someday, just pass it on. And this letter was saying that we are passing it on. And she just wanted to tell Dorothy that she appreciated that. That was a stone that was set up. And my wife, Sunday mornings, she got to where she likes coffee soup. And this morning I made her coffee soup and I took it in and fed it to her. I was looking for some bread. And usually the way she likes it fixed is you take bread and then you put some honey and peanut butter on it and you pour coffee on it, and she really likes that. Just Sunday mornings. She doesn't usually eat it through the week, but just Sunday mornings. And I was out of bread, or we were out of bread there in the kitchen, so I go out to the freezer and I get this bag and I see this loaf of bread in there. And Dorothy's favorite bread is this white sourdough bread. And that's what the loaf was. And on the top of the bread in the middle there, there was this little red bow. And likely some of you children remember when y'all went Christmas caroling. I don't know when the bread was baked, but we ended up with a loaf. And as I was feeding her, I was thinking that kindness. That was to me a stone of remembrance. And several of you ladies have been there to see her and have brought fruit and different things. That's setting up stones. That's what you're teaching your children. And I bless you folks for that. Brethren, the same way. There's so many things that we're doing today, we might not realize it, but we're setting up stones, and children remember. But the place where you lodge, that's where the stones were taken. And when you look at Joshua, in chapter 3, and it talks about these stone carriers. The people who took the stone out of the middle of the obstacle, out of the middle of hopelessness, and took that stone and carried it out. Today, there are a lot of stone carriers. And are you setting these stones up? I mean, not literal stones, but I mean these deeds of kindness, these acts of kindness that we can do to each other to help build each other up in the faith. That is so important. It's just like back in this day. And the monument is all points toward getting over there, other side of Jordan, where my mom is dwelling. That's what it points to. It's on the, here we're on the battle side. Here we're needing the stones of remembrance of what God can do when we face the battles here. At least if you're redeemed, there's another side back there. The side where the Canaanites dwell. Is that where you're walking? Is that where you're wandering around? Is that where you're dipping into worldly things and trying to have fun? Well, there's a lot of enjoyment to be had right where we're at. But when you make that decision that Jesus Christ is going to be your Savior and you bring your sins to Him and He covers it with His blood and remembers them no more, there is no more enjoyment than that. There is no greater joy. So which side are you on? On the side of the Canaanites? Or on the side where God's people are? And where the monument is? And where the stones are being carried? And where the stones are being set up in remembrance for your children? What mean these stones? Mom, why did you do that? Dad, why did you go to that place? Why do we always have to go to church on Sunday? Why do we need to go and have school devotions? Why do you need to write that letter or send that card? It's the side where the promise is. Because, see, when this happened, the battle was not fought. But we know what happened to Jericho. Are we going to be faithful to the calling that we have? And you know, when you go over to the latter part of Joshua, Joshua made his decision. He called out to the children of Israel in Joshua 24. And he asked them to choose. He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What are you going to do?" Joshua said unto the people in verse 19, "Ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses." "Now therefore put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." I don't know how you could stress that more today, especially for the younger generation, when there's so many things that you can do and get involved in and so on. Back when I was young growing up, we did not have all this stuff. We didn't have it. But today, you know, we could do away with all the stuff and still not be inclined toward the Lord our God. We realize that, but you know, it seems like the devil just bombards us with so many gadgets and different things that we can get involved in and doing all kinds of things like that. And it's actually what we're doing is picking up the stones and throwing them away. Or it would seem that way. The people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God, we will serve, and His voice will we obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. I'd like to sing a song. 101. In thinking of the side that we are on, and we're wanting our great God to guide us. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. I don't know the man who wrote this song. It was long ago, but he knew what he was talking about. And I'd like to sing the last verse first, and then the other three verses again. When I tread the verge of joy, when I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside, bear me through the swelling curtain, let me safe on Canaan's side. Thank you for that, folks. Joshua gave people the choice, and the people chose and promised. It says in verse 28, so Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being at 110 years old. And so all the people went to their inheritance after promising that they were going to serve God. And the next chapter in the book of Judges. There are some sad verses there. Verse 21. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. Verse 27. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean. 29. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer. 30. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. 31. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko. 33. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Bethshemesh. 34. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. That is what happened when they did not drive out the enemy. Are we sitting in this church today, and there are enemies among us, and we don't drive them out? After promising that we're going to do exactly what God said. And you know, from then on, it was up and down and up and down and up and down for the children of Israel. And it is the same way for the church today. If we don't drive out the evil that wants to press in on us, it will become part of us. And God is going to have to punish us to bring us back to himself. We have forgotten what the stones mean. We have forgotten the monuments that were set up. That is what they did. And it was a sad chapter. But whenever the children of Israel would come back to God and they would cry out because of how things were going, and then God would have mercy to them. And he did that again and again and again. And you know, for us, you know, when somebody does something to us, you know, we will trust them. We say we trust them. We trust everybody the first time. But if you do something against me, I won't trust you again. Or maybe it happens two times or three times. But I can't count how many times Israel did that to God. They promised and promised and promised and went back and went back and went back. And it was just again and again and again. But you know, the mercy of our God lasts for generations and generations and forever. The Bible is plain about that. How he will just forgive somebody again and again. Not that you can go out there and live as you please and then come to God and say, oh, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And then go out there and do it again and that kind of a rigmarole. That does not get you to the other side. He is looking for committed people. He is looking for people who are putting up the stone monuments and are teaching their children what these stones mean. That's what he's looking for. And you know, as far as what the other side looks like, you know, if the children of Israel, they went over there and if they would have just driven all those people out, they would have had rest and peace from their neighbors. God would have blessed them abundantly. It's what God promises to do for his church today. If we drive them out and we are protective according to his word and we listen to what God says, we reverence him, we realize he's mighty and we respect him, we respect what the word of God says and realize that he does protect his people. The other side looks like this. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth in Revelations 21. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Today, what do these stones mean? What mean these stones? Are you, as parents, setting them up and telling your children what these stones mean? That is what it takes to be victorious coming over to the other side, where the redeemed are, where they are praising God forever and ever, saying hallelujah to our God. Do you want to be part of that crowd? I do. Let's kneel to pray.